Lord Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras? And how could he be envious of them? Purport. We should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute. Whether he is in the material world or in the spiritual world, when we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquired the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute, whether he kills or bestows his favor. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmaram. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyuparitam hashnami prayatatmana. If a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? No, he is not actually dependent, but he likes to be dependent upon his devotee. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras, thus there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Raskachyade Sadarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jagradha Sivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. I'm sorry. This is what happens to all of you when you get old. Kapavatu Pitai. So, again the verse. Na yasyata suraganai sakshani sheyasatmanaha naivasurebhyo vitveshu natvigas chagunasyahi. that Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras, and how could he be envious of them? So, this is now another verse which aims at establishing the impartiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna does not suffer from what is called an inappropriate affection which makes him biased. What I mean to say is best illustrated in the example of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler liked the German people very much. He thought that they came from a special race of people called the Aryans. He misunderstood this point, obviously. And therefore, his love grew. Now, this love also created what Prabhupada calls the frenzy of hatred, this husky flimmer. Because siding with saying these are my people draws a wall to those who are not the people I take care of, and that makes a frenzy of misbehavior. This sometimes happens also in spiritual society, by the way. There's a long word like this long. It starts with M, Menglamu Mici Lipcia Lopski. And what it means is that those who are in the spiritual movement think they are the chosen few. And they begin to become very inimical towards others. They say, the foolish karmis and anyone who is not in their particular sectarian group, he's an enemy. This is seen very much in the Christian denomination. I've just read what the first Christian missionary thought about the Hindus when they came to India. They said, the Hindus are not even on the level of animals because they worship, and then they made an offense against Krishna, not understanding his rasa lila. So they said, we would have to exchange in our language. Anyways, it's so offensive, I don't even want to repeat it. The sectarian spirit cannot be found in the Supreme Lord. He is equal-minded towards everyone. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking the question, that the Lord is transcendental. What does he have to do with this friends and enemies? This is a point which will be dealt with in the whole chapter, and today I will do something extraordinary. I will change the subject matter to ask you all a question. What do you associate with the word entanglement? Uh-huh. You thought you would get preached to today and not have to think, but this was not the right idea. The reason why I'm asking is like this. We are so entangled. What is entanglement? What? Disease causes entanglement. But what is entanglement? Please, Mary. To forget Krishna and then to not be connected with Krishna. And well, that's a very interesting answer. I just, see, I want to talk about it and I need to know what you know. What do you think about this? That's a very good definition also. When one is involved or engaged with things which actually keep us away from serving Krishna. That's a wonderful definition, isn't it? What do you feel? Who is here? Gadadhar appreciates also. Jones. Yes. The illusion or Maya. Yes. That's entanglement. Do you sometimes feel entangled? Yes. So, in the sixth canto, chapter 1, text 50, I was just reading this yesterday, there is a very interesting and basic description of entanglement. It means above the five senses of perception, the five working senses and the five objects of the senses is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who in cooperation with the other 16 enjoys the material world alone. The living being enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. So here we find a Shankya understanding of the entanglement of the soul. He's entangled in the five working senses. He's entangled in the five objects of the senses. He's entangled in the objects of perception. These are also five. And then comes the 16th, that is the Umsky, the mind. Or we as eternal living entities who have adopted this material world have this mechanism for entanglement accepted as our life. To take care of the body and the mind is the activity of maybe 95% of the population, or let us say 99%, and of that 1% who has made it into spiritual life, maybe 80% still takes care of the mind and body on the bed, bodily and mental platform, which keeps one from engaging in service of Krishna. As you know, my statistics are a little drastic. Hopefully it is not an offense, but Kapila Dev speaks of mixed forms of devotional service, I feel when we have discussed this earlier many times, we can sometimes see that we are also in this, still on the material platform, or not this is not correct to say touched by material qualities. Now All spiritual cultures aim of ending this entanglement of the soul into matter, into, let me better say, material activities which are born out of desires, something which takes place in the mind. A little, maybe 2 years ago, a devotee told me of one person who wanted to stop this. He is called the Anavasya Baba. This Anavasya Baba lives in a wooden, oh, now the English word, wooden box. He doesn't eat, he just sits there. And he eats once a month a little rice. And everybody met him and asked him, why are you living like this? This is not very comfortable. And he said, I want to stop material existence. I want to stop with material activities. I'm tired of the entanglement into material existence. So the devotee asked, is it possible? Are you successful? And he said, not very much. And the reason is that he also has a mind. He doesn't just have senses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses the sad condition of the living entity, anadi karame phale. Since time immemorial, I have fallen into this ocean, and there are no means for me to get out of this ocean. The main reason is that our mind is so strong. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, it is possible to curb the restless mind. But this is certainly not easy, because the mind has a quality. Chanchala hi mana Krishna. This mind is by nature extremely restless. I can guarantee you, even if I would be able to give a good lecture in Krishna consciousness, your mind would wander about 100 times from the subject matter. The mind, by nature, cannot fix itself on one object, the material mind. It just doesn't work to send the mind somewhere and then the mind stays there. It wanders. It jumps. You call them there, making this noise in the summertime. Then they jump. What? A grasshopper. That's a, in want of a better word, that's a verbal translation. Ich glaube nicht. Tu doch mal nachgucken, was Grasshopper bedeutet. So, this is the nature of the mind. It is just works like this. Just like your car works in a certain way, this is how the mind works. It is very difficult to be with this mind, to be steady with this mind, because it's always... Isn't it? What do you feel, Gadara? We can say such things. Good. You may, for instance, sit down and try to meditate. This is what Prabhupada just read something before I, in preparation to this lecture. But so many impressions come. You might think of your beloved, or your business, or just anything, even though you sincerely try by many techniques to capture the umski, the mind. This This sometimes embarrassing situation has been explained in a little Leela. It was about a Pandit who gave a lecture from the Ramayana, and this Ramayana book had a black cordel and a schwarze cordel, wie so als Lesezeichen, die da runtergebaumelt ist, which came from the book. And now he was reading, and every day Mataji came, and when she heard about the pastimes of Lord Rama, she cried and cried. So the Pandit thought that she feels intense pangs of separation, vipralamba, because she always cried. A very elevated state of spiritual life, and he decided to talk to her and ask her, what is going on with me? She said, oh, I'm not crying because of love. I'm calling because this black cordel which is there reminds me of my recently deceased husband. So, this is the situation of the mind. It works not only that it jumps, but it works by a process called psychological, that's the English word, language, the association of thoughts. You know, you see something which reminds you of something previously seen, and then an image appears in the mind which may not at all be conducive or have anything to do. So when we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, we have to engage this mind in the service of, we have to fix it. Someone may be dressed in dhoti and sari, but if his mind is not with Krishna, that is not really, he has not really come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. I want to read you something very nice. Therefore, to stick to this principle, to apply the mind always in Krishna, that means he is a devotee. This is a devotee. Devotee means not with four hands or four legs. No. The hands, legs are the same. But his mode of thinking is different. That's all. That's all. Ooh, nothing more. That is devotee. Devotee means the mind. Interesting word. Sentence, is it? I've written this down. Devotee means the mind. It means the mind has to be a devotee. It has to be made a devotee. So we can start with our private Bhakta program. Didn't you always want to be a Bhakta leader in your life? Now is the chance. Take the mind into your Bhakta program and train him. That is the first qualification of devotee. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Now Prabhupada acknowledges now that this is not so difficult what he tells to his young wisdom disciples, and he says, we have to practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktina. Can you please request Mukunda, du bist da gerade, da das, die englische Gita rauszuholen und aus dem Index rauszusuchen, Abhyasa, A-B-H-Y-A-S-A, ja, Abhyasa Yoga Yoktina, wie das denn zu bringen. Mind is going out of my control. I want to think of Krishna, but mind is thinking something else. So we have to catch the mind again. Why? You are going there. Come here. Think of Krishna. liberated soul and conditioned soul. What is the difference? Conditioned soul means who is becoming conditioned by the mind or controlled by the mind. He is conditioned soul. And liberated soul means who is not conditioned by the mind. Mind says, why not smoke one cigarette? And then you'll be able to say, no cigarette! Then you have controlled the mind. Yes. Yes. Krishna advises us in the Bhagavad Gita to meditate on Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means you have to control the mind to do that. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasananyagamina paramang purushang divyang yati partanu chintayan. He who meditates on Me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering Me, undeviated from the path, he, O Pata, is sure to reach Me. If you do not make your mind a devotee, you will not reach Krishna. This is from chapter 8, if you want to read it in your own private reading time, text number 8. Very easy to remember. 8:8. The mind is fickle, Prabhupada says, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. And he gives the example of the caterpillar. Do you know the caterpillar? Caterpillar. Then the caterpillar all the things of becoming a butterfly, and by that mental energy he becomes a butterfly. I think this is not known, the psychology of the caterpillar. We should write a book on this. It's a very good title, The Psychology of the Caterpillar. So you might now ask yourself the question, okay, Sachinandan Swami, you might say, this process is not for me. I'm leaving Krishna consciousness today because I can't make the mind a devotee. My dear devotees, you're not the only one with mixed emotions about the subject matter. Arjuna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he expresses a similar question. He says to Krishna, this is almost like a challenge. Krishna, he says, has anyone ever been successful to curb the restless wind? In the same way, it's not possible to curb the restless mind. It's a heavy challenge. You know, just like when you stand in the wind and say, stop, 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 don't go here. I mean, will you be successful? You can even use a chatter to try. Let us hear some suggestions. But please, we are now in an ontological search for answers. In other words, we cannot give answers which we have not realized. Now, any little success story here? Kavavasini. That helps you to control the mind? Good. So, here's one little success story. I'm always trying to remember that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and that helps me to control the mind. What do you do? Yeah. But what if you read and read, and then you ask yourself, what have I read just now? And then the computer of your mind says, nothing. I can't remember even one sentence. Sometimes, okay, so here's a devotee who reads the Bhagavatam, and if that doesn't work so well, he hears. What do you hear? I'm very interested. Put a lecture on the tape. I'm also looking for answers, by the way, so I'm interested in your little tricks. Asana. I couldn't acoustically. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I cry out the name of my spiritual master. That works? Sometimes. But you just, I'm interested, you just, Shri Vishnu Bharat! Like this. QJ or einfach nur? So, ganz einfach. Yeah. Okay. It's described by Raghunath Das Goswami that we should, when the highway men, you know, of lust and anger, put a noose around our necks, we should call out to the highway police, and these are the dear devotees of the Lord who killed the Bakasura demon. So, yes, so you're calling for the spiritual protection of your spiritual master. Very nice. Yeah, Padmahasa. You have to speak louder. I try to chant in the humble way. Manchmal springst du in Kirtan dann rein. Im Auto. I do Kirtan in the car. Ching, ching. With cattle? You sing loud? Medium. Yes. Yeah. Very good? No. Very nice. This is what I also always do. When nothing works, I take a pair of cartels and ching, ching, ching. It's good with cartels. It helps one easier to absorb because the ring, ring, ring of the cartels drives away these heavy blackbirds, these raven, the raves, they're called raves, or this. Wie nennt man die nochmal? Swans and crows. Yes, it drives away the crows. So, Now, okay, we have heard now. Thank you very much for revealing some of your secrets in your Bhakta program of the mind. Now we want to hear what is Srila Prabhupada's methodic. Now, he makes one very interesting point. Why is the mind always diverted? Why is he such a rascal? It's because he is controlled by the senses. The senses do not, are so strong, they will not allow you to become a devotee. Now, you might say, well, when I can't control my mind, it's not that I always want gross sense gratification. I think of other things also. But these other things, they come from impressions which have been made through the senses and have reached your mind like this. So therefore, it is very important to first engage the mind, but then engage the senses as well. You will find a very good example of a devotee called Maharaj Ambarish, who had a total program for engaging his senses in Krishna service. I mean, he had a 24-hour kirtan program. Are you interested to hear of his program, his bhakta program for the mind? Yes, you don't seem to see it. Sarvai mama Krishna padaravindayo vachanti vaikuntha guna nivanane karunira mandira machanadishu shodhin chakarachuta satkathodaye mukundalingalaya tashanavrusho tapritya Prashanga Sangamam Granam Chatatpada Sarocha Sodade Shrima Tulasya Rasanantarapite. Maharaj Ambarisha always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. That's, by the way, a very interesting meditation about the lotus feet of Krishna. That's a very interesting form of doing it. The devotee who does it meditates upon each of the signs, and all these signs, they have an effect on the mind. Like if you meditate on the flesh and the lotus feet of the Lord, that meditation just crashes through the trash of your mind. Like Indra's flesh, who destroys a mountain, the mountain-like material contaminations are destroyed like this. So this is what he does. This is, of course, very advanced. Then his words are describing the glories of the Lord. Let me give you like a little personal information. I have to preach, otherwise I don't get prasadam from our temples. This is, you know, I have to do it. This is my work, so to say. And I'm aware that it's not always up to so good as it would be nice for all of you to hear. Anyways, I'm just trying. And often I think of the things which I talk about. It helps to speak about something, and then it comes in the mind. It really helps. There is a secret. It comes from psychology even. If you once say something which you have read, it's really registered in the mind. If you don't speak it, that's not good. So therefore, if you want to remember something, read it and then immediately talk about it. And then it's there. Even small points. So, what did he do with his hands? He cleansed the Lord's temple. Cleaning the temple. That's such a good activity. Even when you come from Sankirtan or so, just take some brush and clean the temple. In his ears he heard the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. Then his eyes he sees the deities, also Krishna's temples, and he also sees Mathura and Vrindavan. Ambarish was a pilgrim. He engages his sense of touch. He touches the bodies of the Lord's devotees. This is a very interesting thing. When we meet Vaishnavas, we should embrace them. It's very nice to embrace Vaishnavas. That is spiritualizes you. Man should embrace man, etc. Mm. It's always good to set everything very clear. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulasi offered to the Lord. Or what we do is when the have you ever noticed when the flower comes around, smell it. Even though mostly it doesn't have any smell. This is very frustrating. We should actually have smelling flowers. This is much more important than the shadows of flowers which we get in Kali Yuga. In Tong, that's easy. Taste the Lord's Prasad. So, if you will see, if you engage your senses, there is an interrelation to the mind. The mind will become your friend much easier if you engage the senses. It works both ways. The mind controls the senses, but the senses also control the mind. Therefore, if you want to become successful in your life, engage your senses in Krishna service. This is very important. And start with the tongue. This is what we learn from the Upadishamrita. See, one of the greatest entanglements in thoughts are thoughts of sense gratification with the opposite sex. I think those of us who belong to the honest category know that this sometimes comes. This often has its origin in an uncontrolled tongue, which eats too much, especially sweets at 11 o'clock in the night, and which speaks prajalpa. So if you have the tongue under control, your belly will be under control, and also the genital will be under control and not be agitated and impose its uncivilized proposals to the mind. This is explained. Begin controlling the senses or engaging the senses starting with the tongue. So the spiritual master has the duty to help his disciple to engage in Krishna's service. He is meant to engage his the devotee in practical work for Krishna, so that all the senses of the devotee become purified one after the other. That's why we get a spiritual master, and we should ask him, what shall I do? And it should come from the heart, by the way. So I want to come, I have to concentrate a little bit, I want to come to the end. So if we are at all serious to go back home, back to Godhead, we should not become so much entangled on the platform of the body and the mind. In this movement, we have all the opportunities. There is such wonderful engagement. There is such wonderful literature, such wonderful association. We should wake up to the wonderful opportunities, especially in hearing about Krishna. We should think, I must come away from this bodily concept of life, where I identify with my gross body and my mind. I must come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. Then also my duties will change. You will see so much time is wasted for taking care of the body and the mind. If we are honest, let us look at this. So much we have to eat, we have to go to the toilet, we have to sleep. Oh, sleeping alone. Then what else? We have to move here and there. Then our mind, or the mind, when it's not engaged in Krishna, is just impossible. Things of this, and then in the midst of, sometimes we are happy, sometimes it feels a mixture of happiness and distress, and sometimes total distress. And how much time we lose with this. It's embarrassing how much time one falls. You know, the in management, the biggest time waster is a misplaced object. Have you ever noticed this? You know, you want to write, and then you ask, where is my pen? Can I please have my pen? And then you look all over your room, where is my pen? I'm such a big pen loser. I have like about, I've now an unending supply of pens. This doesn't happen. There's such a waste of time. I remember in the Schloss Rettershof, where we were extremely poor, I had one very nice pen. And I always lost him. Every second day, he was gone. And I had to run 5 staircases up and down, you know, and then I found out, oh, before the kitchen where I noted a recipe, I had left it, you know, and then half an hour was gone to find this foolish pen. So, just wasted. Or have you ever lost your car keys? I think that's a common phenomenon among Sankirtan devotees, isn't it, Kaivavasini? And you look for this car key. Oh no, where's my car key? And the whole Sankirtan group says, please let us drive, please let us drive. Yes, I want to drive, but I need my car keys. And then you look in all your clothes and in all your pants and under every carpet in the universe, and you can't find the car keys. So this is the greatest waster. We can put this on the subtle platform, this understanding. If we lose our mind, this is the allergrößte waster, the biggest Zeitverschwender. I'm sorry. The biggest time waster. If you lose your mind to some problem, some attachment, some weakness, some this and that, the other thing. If you are serious in devotional service, you should think, my dear Lord, my Dragi Godaspodin, I want to get out of this material existence. I do not want to waste my time any longer on this, with these 24 material elements, which include the mind. Or here the category, in the sixth canto is these 16 elements. The 17th is the soul. Now, you might say, oh, I wish I could pray like this. Hol mir doch mal hier den Vers aus. Nivritta Trishna Upaniyamana. Nivritta. You might say, I want to. I also sometimes feel enough with this entanglement. Isn't it? Do we sometimes not feel it's getting too much? What do you feel, Jons? Good. I have to say yes. Dear devotees, please think about it. We are wasting our time for something which is not even worthwhile to waste. Nevritata shel upagiyamana. I hope it's upagiyamana, no? Nevritata shel upagiyamana. So, the question here is, who will be able to understand this? That he's wasting time. What is the qualification? Are you interested? Seriously. We can end the class here. I'm sorry. just so enthusiastic this morning. First of all, the mind is, we have to understand, the mind can be made a friend by Krishna Katha. That's the thing which gets the mind. Now, you can only be interested if you are no longer interested in the false temporary manifestation. Trishna, you must be nivritta, totally free, nivritta, released from, tashaya means, comes from the word Trishna, it means aspiration, material aspiration. Then you can actually be able to get into the Bhakta program, to bring your mind into the Bhakta program and just keep him there, sitting. Material aspirations, they are so, how do you say, deluding. This is what we have to give up. If a devotee or if a person continues with material aspirations, this plan, that plan, the other plan, then he will not be able to make that determination. Enough! Time is wasted if he has these aspirations. But these aspirations, material aspirations, are suicidal by their nature. That's murderish. They are not in our own interest. To run after material desires means you will never be able to attain them. If you would now say, Jones, there is a rhinoceros outside, run and catch it and sell it to the zoo, then you have your Guru Dakshin together. You could run and never get it, because there are no free rhinoceroses, most probably, in Heidelberg. So this idea to run after material aspirations is just like running after a rhinoceros in Heidelberg. Doesn't work. Just doesn't work. Anyways, that's, so please remember this one sentence. Devotee means the mind. This is really the one slogan of this lecture. Devotee means the mind. Make the mind the friend. And this only will work by hearing about Krishna. You may not be able to concentrate, and the reason is there are so many thoughts of catching the rhinoceros in Heidelberg in your mind. That never works. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. As you have seen, I went way overhead because this subject matter absolutely interests me. I am one of the rhinoceros hunters in this material universe since billions of lifetimes, and I have enough up to here. Oh. Hello, Kunti. So, und Kamala, schön euch zu sehen. Wir sind jetzt aber gerade fertig. Wir haben über wichtige Themen heute gesprochen. Ihr beiden, wenn ihr ein bisschen älter werdet, werdet ihr euch auch dahin setzen. Das ist sehr interessant. So, gut. Dann würde ich sagen, haben wir alles besprochen. It is very late now. 9:10, and I feel I will not answer any questions. Anyways, maybe it's so nice also to answer questions if they are there. Habt ihr irgendwelche Fragen? Kundalata. Wie der Madhyam Adhikari denkt über seinen spiritual master. How does the Madhyam Adhikari think about his spiritual master? I must honestly admit that I do not have any information about the Shastra, from the Shastras about it. So I can only put information which I have together. The Madhyam Adhikari is described to be one who has firm faith in the Shastras. Now, Shastras can only be understood by the mercy of the spiritual master. Only he who serves both the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be able to have the understandings of the Shastra revealed. So Madhyam Adhikari, he knows my spiritual master is the embodiment of all the Shastras. Yes. This is one answer which I would give. But see, on that platform of Madhyam, intermediate, something else comes, and that is great humility begins to dawn, and then the relationship to the spiritual master is much easier. Then another qualification comes. You know, so many devotee qualifications come up, and then it's very easy to take on one's natural position in regards to the spiritual master, that is an eternal servant. So we on such a level, the devotee feels very near to his spiritual master. There is a nice meditation how even someone who is, let me say, on the Kanishtha level can think about his spiritual master and make a little advancement in his life. He can think, I want to live in such a way that in every moment my spiritual master could walk in the door. In other words, you work a little bit on the fear principle with your mind here. I always notice when I come to the bus program, the moment I enter the bus, everyone just gets red faces and then everyone tries to put the bus in order. Have you noticed? You know, this here and that and the dirty wash under the cushion and so on and so forth. And because das sind unsere Piraten, our pirates, and they get a bad conscience when I come in. I always regret it. Why am I such a feared personality? But it helps at least to get the mess cleared up in the bus. So it can help to think, my spiritual master should come now, can come in my life and see me now. And this fear principle helps us to get a little going, because naturally we want to be good devotees. I mean, everyone wants this. Hare Krishna. Mukunda. Yes. It's behind the rhinoceros. We can make a clap, Mukunda.